Melissa in the Morning talks with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We have some breaking business news this week. Headquartered in Stamford, Connecticut, shipping and mailing company Pitney Bowes announced the company is set to lay off about 1,000 employees and close several facilities in the U.S. Now, it is not clear this morning how many, if any, Connecticut workers are impacted. The most up-to-date state headcount report I could find shows Pitney had about 800 employees based in Connecticut as of last November. But Pitney Bowes is hardly the only company we're seeing with these layoff stories. In fact, just this summer, we were talking about also in Stamford Indeed, which their headquarters are in Stamford, laying off 1,000 employees. That was back in May. In the spring, of course, we learned about Sikorsky planning hundreds of workers being laid off as well. So layoffs are inevitable. We've seen it in the news just in the last few months. So how exactly do you prepare for a layoff? Julie Bauke, our career strategist, joins the show with some advice. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. I'd say my advice falls into two categories. The first is be aware, and that is pay attention to what's going on at your company, whether you are at the headquarters or you're simply another division. You have to read and be aware of what's going on at your company. Is revenue up? Is it down? Are there layoffs going on in different parts of the company? Is there rumblings of maybe you lost a big customer? You have to be aware of what's going on around you instead of keeping your head in the sand. And how might it affect you? It's very, very easy to say, well, they can't live without me. But yeah, they can. Most companies can, regardless of what they tell you. And so you have to be aware of your surroundings.
Depending on, I would think, the department that you're in, like most companies run where you have, I would think, like a hierarchy, if you will. You've got the managers, you've got the like sub managers, you've got the, I don't know, like we have different departments, if you will, I would think, in most places of work. How do you know what's going on around you if your department, for example, you're not in on these like these meetings or things like that? I mean, is it as simple as connecting yourself to people in departments so that you're just constantly in the know, asking questions? Do supervisors, are they required to somewhat inform you that things are not going as well, sales are down or something? Like, how do you stay in the know if you're not in the, I'm going to call it like the elite, if you will? You're not in that manager circle, per se.
So all you can really get access to in that case is what your company tells the public or what the public, and that's valuable. So have an alert set up. What sort of company reports are they? Are they putting out a quarterly report? Has the CEO made a statement? Is there a, you know, is there a revenue, you know, caution that you're seeing? What's Wall Street saying about your company?
Okay.
What are you hearing on the underground? That
so do your own kind of digging, if you will.
Yeah, you have to. And anytime your CEO, let's say you're sitting in Connecticut, you work for a company that's headquartered out of Phoenix, and they do an all-company call to update you on what's going on. It's really easy to just go, I don't care about that. It doesn't affect me. Sure, it does. And so it's your responsibility to stay up on what's happening in the organization. If you start hearing this, like Starbucks as an example, you know, the CEO lost his job. And one of the things that was very clear is that same store sales were down year over year. Okay. That's a clue, and that's not going to be acceptable. And so in that case, and I know it's a CEO, it's a little bit different, but you have to know that that's what you're measured on. And if those numbers aren't trending and you see that there's stuff going around you that's making you a little nervous, that you just owe yourself to have an awareness of that. Because most of the time we go, that stuff doesn't affect me. If I just do a great job, it's all going to go well. And that's just not true.
It's putting the blinders on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's putting your head up and understanding what's going on. And even if I've had plenty of people say, well, my manager told people after they've gotten laid off, were told, if my manager told me I'm fine, don't worry about it, then they get laid off. It's like, you know, so don't, you have to look out for you. And so and that leads me to my second point, which is you have to be ready. One of the questions I'll ask people is, what if you went into work Monday, handed you an empty cardboard box, metaphorically or, you know,
physically,
in real life,
right, literally, sure.
and said, I'm sorry, we've had to cut staff. You ended up on the list. Your services are no longer required. Just sit with that for a minute. How's that going to make you feel? Are you like, whatever, it'll be fine, I'll find something else? Well, that's a different response than, oh my gosh, you know,
now
we're going to be living in
our
car.
Sure, right.
And so I tell people, you have to be ready at all times for that conversation. What if it all went away on Monday? Are you ready for what's next? And the basics, the absolute basics, and frankly, Melissa, most people don't even have their basics prepared, is resume resume and LinkedIn profile, and at least some sort of thought around, if I lost my job tomorrow, would
Where
I look
I
to
go?
Do more of the same?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I want to stay in the same field, or would I want to try something new, and what might that be? You also have to have an active network. And I say, at the very minimum, 3 to 5 people who are your professional contacts. What are you doing to stay in touch at least once a quarter? You can't live on an island anymore. And within your organization, if you're on an island and not paying attention, or outside of your organization, if you're on an island and aren't connecting with others, you're putting yourself at risk.
Mm. So I think here's another question, Julie, as you talk about, are you ready? So with the resume, with your references, you know, of course, staying in touch with LinkedIn and having connections, how often should you be updating that? Or how often should you be checking on that to make sure, you know, Monday you're laid off, God forbid, but if it happens, and then Monday afternoon, you could technically start pumping out your resume and giving it to places. Like, how
but
often?
You shouldn't. Okay,
you
back
should
up.
Not? Okay. See, this
oh, you're
is
laid
why
off
I ask.
On Monday. Monday afternoon, the last thing you ought to be doing is sending out resumes.
Why?
You need to take a deep breath.
Okay.
Because you're panic applying.
Got it. Okay.
Because,
you're in survival mode.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be. Okay.
Yeah. The process is think, plan, execute. And you don't have to sit and think for like weeks, but you do have to take a breath and sit back and say, okay, how can I go about this thoughtfully? So what do I want to do? Are my tools up to date? How am I going to connect with people? I have to be ready to answer the questions. Why did you lose your job? Tell me about yourself. And what do you want to do next? Those three questions are the bare minimum before you start a job search. And the panic, and this is why my book is titled Stop Peeing on Your Shoes, because people go out and they make those mistakes out of fear.
Mm.
And you will hurt yourself in the long run. And so getting really clear on, all right, the temptation is, you lose your job Monday at 10 a.m. On your way home or on your way, you know, the next thing a lot of us do is we pick up the phone and start calling people. Can you believe it? Blah, blah, blah. After all I've done for them, blah, blah, blah. They ain't getting you nowhere. And so you have to step back and say, okay, how am I going to have conversations with people thoughtfully? Now, you can have that venting conversation with your partner or your best friend, of course.
Right, sure.
But don't start calling everybody you know. You have to get the old ducks lined up and be able to say, you know, here's what's happened. The company was going through a wholesale layoff. You know, 20% of the workforce was affected. Half the people in my department are affected. You know, that's life. As I think about what I want to do next, that's what I want to focus on. And here are the things that I want to do more of, less of, never again as I move forward. And I'd love to sit down over coffee with you and really talk about my career. And I appreciate your offer to help. Let's get that on the calendar for later next week. And it's okay if you feel like the duck that appears calm on the surface of the water, but underneath, you know, you're paddling like crazy and you're panicking. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to hire somebody who's in a panic
who's
or
a train
desperate.
Wreck.
That's not.
Right. Right.
Not a good hire.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And yeah, that's very true.
So you have to get a hold of yourself and always be ready. Walk yourself through the scenario and say to yourself, what will I do should this happen? And then if it doesn't happen and you're still whistling down the road career happy, good for you. That's great. But you have to be ready, as I say, be ready to stay, be ready to go.
We hate to think of it, but a layoff could very well happen. In fact, in our news this morning, we're talking about Pitney Bowes, which announced that the company is set to lay off about 1,000 employees and close several facilities in the U.S. And, of course, it's headquartered right here in Stamford. We don't know exactly the direct impact, if any, it'll have on Connecticut workers. But we're talking about layoffs and handling it properly with our career strategist, Julie Bauke. Julie, this has a lot of our listeners talking. In fact, just during that break, we heard from a couple couple of our listeners, including Paul and Trumbull, who had a couple of questions for you, starting with the exit interview. Do you have any advice for the do's and don'ts of exit interviews?
I wish I could tell you that whatever you say is going to be taken seriously. Unfortunately, most organizations do it because they have to. I've seen situations where, you know, a person could lose, 15 people could resign from the same department and say exactly the same thing about why they're leaving, and the company will sit in denial and just say those 15 people were disgruntled. The problem is exit interviews, because you're now leaving the organization, they're typically taken less seriously, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And so, well, you know, that, what do you expect from somebody who's leaving? And it's so I always look, you want to be honest, but you want to be professional. If you feel like what you're going to say is going to make a difference. I had a situation where somebody was leaving an organization, had just a really bad leader. Oh, my gosh. And she was really honest and said, if you don't want to keep losing people, you need to consider whether this person is the right person to lead. Here are a few examples. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't mad. It wasn't burning the bridge. It was, here's what's going on. And the way they presented it, they felt like they had to because they cared about the organization and the people right. left behind. Mm-hmm. But you have to temper your expectations that anything's going to change. But if you can deliver it, and yeah, here's why I'm leaving, because I found that what this organization pays for people in this job and at my level, 20% less than what other organizations pay. I think you should look at that. I think that can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have any control with what they do of it. I just roll my eyes at exit interviews, because unless you're asking people while they're still there, like what I prefer a stay interview, understanding, you know, be in touch with your people year round and understand why they stay and what would cause them to leave. Mm-hmm. In other words, try to solve the problem before you lose them.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Good advice. Now, Julie Bauke, our career strategist. So let's say you were laid off and you did what you had said, you know, in that two-part advice that you had just given a few minutes ago. And okay, now you've thought about it. You've executed a plan. You've now applied to a couple of jobs. You hear back from them. All right, cool. You landed the interview. Now you're in the interview. And some of the most common questions we will get from some of our listeners include the age difference. So the workplace, we've talked about how younger and younger people are becoming more of the manager, you know, level positions, or they're managing the workplace in a different way than maybe boomers or Gen Y, Gen X, Gen, no, Gen, I don't know. Gen, you know.
Z.
Yes.
Z.
Well, Gen Z is behind me, right? I mean, because I'm millennial, so then Gen Z is behind me, so ahead of me.
But they're still really young. I mean, they're still, most of them, they aren't even all in the workplace yet. So,
Let's say you're a boomer, though, and you were laid off, or you left that job, and now you're applying for something else, and you land the interview, but the person that you're speaking to is a millennial or is a Gen Z. How do you handle that?
You know, I don't see it as much different. What I tell everyone in terms of interviewing is awareness. So if you are a boomer and you're going to interview at a place that has typically a pretty young workforce, but you have to be aware. What is that culture? Don't show up in a suit and heels, because that's not their culture. You have to be able to read the room. And this is true. I give this advice to everybody. So I think we get overly freaked out at the generational differences. It is up to you to fit in, to know the culture, to do research on the company, to learn the vibe, to be ready to talk about how
you fit into that.
The essence of hiring is a company has a situation or a problem that they want solved. Mm-hmm. And they are looking for someone who can provide that solution. And so whether you are the same age as the interviewer or whether you are two generations older, the essence of the interview is the same. So I always talk about hiring is about, can you do the job? Do you have the skills to do the job? Mm-hmm. And when you are older, you have to be aware. You have to be up to date. And so not only do you have to know how to read the room, but you have to not walk in and talk about in my day or the way I do it. You have to be flexible and adapt. But if you are the other way, if you're young, you have to understand that you're not going to walk in and do everything your way, because the people who are in charge are older than you are. Now, that will change over time, but it's up to you to adapt. But you also get to decide, is this a culture where I can be successful? Mm. I think we get so freaked out about what's the person on the other side of the desk? What are they going to think of me? And that's part of it. But remember, this is also you deciding whether this is going to be a fit for you as well.
Yeah.
And so it's but read the room, people. I think that's one of the things we don't do very well. And that with young people, it's maybe coming in and talking, using inappropriate language or slang, or dressing too casual. With older people, maybe it's dressing too formal, with coming across as too stiff and not able and willing to learn. You know, I don't care if you're a boomer and you have 30, 40 years experience in the workforce, to walk in with anything that smells like you're going to come in and show us how it's really done, that's a recipe for disaster, and you're not going to get that job.
So Julie Bauke, who's our career strategist, we, of course, have gotten more questions about the, you know, recovery from layoff and heading into a new job, you know, including after you've been laid off, how do you negotiate salary? You know, when they ask that question, what do you think you should be paid, kind of a thing. I do believe we should continue the conversation next week, only because we've run out of time.
Yes.
So let's continue with this, you know, the recovery after a layoff, and certainly trying to now land the next job and taking people's questions. I'd love to do that. And I thank you, of course, every week for giving us such great advice in the workplace.
Sure. I'd like to. Do I have a second for me to mention something else that I'm putting all my content in?
Yes, we've got 30 seconds. Go for it.
Okay. www.careercollective.ai, not .com, .ai. I am super excited to be one of the founding board members and content contributors of this AI-based platform that's going to help you develop your career path, develop your career, and utilizing AI tools and great content. It's the first time I've ever partnered with a platform, because I'm so excited about this one. We're going to create a community, and it's going to be the place you can find all my content. We are offering free memberships for life right now to start, you know, to get it started up. And so highly suggest you get, there's no cost, no weirdness. You're not going to get solicited. CareerCollective.ai is where all of Julie Bauke's content is going to be moving forward. And I wanted to make sure that my Connecticut listeners got in on the free founding membership. So just go to plans and select founding member, and we'll see you there. And I've never been this excited about something. So I want to make sure I tell you guys first.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, it's careercollective.ai. I'm going to include that to your podcast.
careercollective.ai. Just sign up as a founding member. That's all you have to do. And it's going to be pretty special. There's nothing out there like it.
Wow. Julie Bauke, thanks for the inside scoop. I appreciate that.
Okay.
You're the best.
Next week, we'll talk about the salary stuff. I think we can do a whole session on that.
Oh, I look forward to it, because I also struggle with this one. Julie Bauke, thank you so much. And we'll talk next week.
Sure. Okay.
Our career strategist, Julie Bauke, here on WICC. And I will add that website to her podcast on our website, WICC600.com, when our show wraps up at 10.